Hi, everybody. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Last night, 10 more Democratic presidential hopefuls took to the stage for a second round of debates in Detroit, Michigan. And much like the first night, national issues highlighting the connections between race and inequality loomed heavy in the background, whether the candidates addressed them directly or not. Protesters got involved several times over the course of the night, pushing issues of police violence and mass deportations to the fore.
Please continue, Mr. Vice President.
So how did the candidates respond, and did the broader narrative on race move past the usual pandering and talking points? Here to help us dissect last night's performance once again is Kat Stafford, an investigative reporter for the Detroit Free Press. Kat, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me again.
So let's talk about what stood out to you about last night's debate as opposed to the first night's debate when it came to how the candidates addressed issues about race and inequality.
Well, you know, I've seen a lot of headlines talking about there were very clear winners and losers. I think, you know, Cory Booker really spoke to folks here. He was personable. He touched on issues of, you know, criminal justice and immigration, and Andrew Yang actually managed to break out a bit and I think curry some favor with people. But I also thought Julian Castro had a very strong performance in terms of immigration.
First of all, Mr. Vice President, it looks like one of us has learned the lessons of the past and one of us hasn't. Let me begin by telling you my immigration plan would also fix the broken legal immigration system, because we do have a problem with that.
Detroit, you know, when people think about Detroit, they think of a city that's overwhelmingly African-American, for which it is. But Detroit also has a pretty high Latino population. We have a pocket of the city where there are people from so many different countries. It's really a rich fabric of a community. And people there, they are also scared about deportations. I think everyone agrees America is pretty much at a turning point right now. Racism is at the forefront. Black and brown people across the country, as well as the city of Detroit, are really looking for candidates to speak to the issues that are impacting them. And while I think we saw a little bit more of that last night, I think people are still, again, looking for more policies, more proposal discussion coming from these candidates instead of all of this infighting.
One of the things that was interesting, as we mentioned in yesterday's debate coverage, all of the candidates on the stage yesterday were white. Last night, there were several candidates of color. In fact, all the candidates of color who were involved in the race were on the stage last night. Did that change the tenor and the tone of the conversation on race and inequality at all?
I think so. This is the most diverse candidate selection that voters have, you know, ever had. So I think when you have people of color on a stage, people from different backgrounds, you are likely to have these people speak to issues that are impacting Black and brown communities across the country. Criminal justice. I was very happy to see such a large amount of discussion on that. Eric Garner was a point of protest last night. People were shouting about Eric Garner. And when you hear that name, when you hear Philando Castile, when you hear Trayvon Martin, these are names that in the Black community still cause a visceral reaction. It's still painful. So it was refreshing to see that come to the forefront last night.
And you mentioned Eric Garner, and that's a big issue here in New York. But there were also protesters who were in the audience asking for the officer who was involved in Garner's killing to be fired. Your thoughts on that?
Gillibrand, I think, hit it out the park when she took it to that emotional level. And the way she was able to take that, I can't breathe, that's a line I think that will forever be etched in the minds of African Americans and so many other people across the country. So to have her speak to that directly, the emotional feeling that comes from that when you think about that, I think that gave her a bit of a boost with specific people.
Something else that she said that stood out to me was her the fact that she said she would be able to talk to the suburban white women about things like white supremacy and whiteness in America and white privilege. That was sort of an indirect to the Trump voter base. Do you think that may have resonated with anyone in the audience?
Well, I have been seeing some mixed reaction to that. I think people certainly understood what she was trying to say. I think it was an important point that she was trying to make. But some people are saying, well, why do we need someone to step in and, you know, speak to these people? Why can't they see this for what it is? Why can't they see the racism that is directly in their faces, the racism that we are experiencing as people of color? But on the other side, people were saying, wow, I can't believe she stepped out and said something like that. I think we need someone who can make that bridge, who can explain to people who might not be able to see the issues that are happening in the country and how it's really impacting people. So it was interesting, though. I really saw some mixed reaction. It really depends on who you were speaking with.
One of the things leading up to this round of debates, both last night and the night before, was the question about whether the Democratic Party itself would alienate voters by being too progressive or considering something like race or racism. Last night, did you get a sense that the progressives did quite well, or that the moderates were the ones that came out shining?
I think, again, you know, when you look at Biden, when you look at Kamala Harris, I think they were struggling a bit last night. You didn't quite see the same breakout performance that she had, you know, in Miami. And I think Biden, he was really on the ropes because so many people were directly attacking him. And I think this go around, people are really not just looking for the entertainment of the debate. They are looking for a candidate that could speak to these issues that are now, like you said, they're at the forefront. Race is at the forefront. So I think the progressives who were outright speaking about, you know, student loan debt, they were outright speaking about racism, criminal justice. I think those were the candidates that really won. Why did Hillary Clinton lose? She was not able to mobilize the Black voter base. It was a struggle to get young people out. I remember I was here on the ground when there are so many people trying to go to the local college campuses to try and get the young folks out. They were in Flint. They were in Detroit. But people just were not into it. And I think this is what is needed this go around. You need someone that's speaking to these issues. And when you're in Detroit, this is ground zero. Detroit is the microcosm of issues facing so many other communities. And I think the candidates who are speaking to that, that shine. Who's talking about poverty? Who's talking about how I'm going to be able to put food on the table for my family? That's what people are looking for. So I think the candidates that spoke to that, those were really the winners. But again, Democrats are going to have to figure out, what do we want? Who do we want to be? Because I'm concerned that we're going to start to see the same issues we saw in 2016.
So many issues to unpack. But one thing I think that is front and center for all communities is climate change. And I'm wondering if that often gets framed as an issue for communities of color. Jay Inslee was very vocal about that, and that's been a big part of his platform. Did you think that climate change was framed in a way that it does affect issues of racial and environmental justice?
I was hoping to see a little bit more discussion around climate change. You know, I think when people talk about climate change, they think of the high level issues. We're talking about the refineries, we're talking about the rainforest, we're talking about so many different facets that are very important. But on a local level, we are dealing with environmental issues as well. Jay Inslee mentioned how he took a trip to a section of Detroit. I believe it's the 48217 zip code. This is Michigan's most polluted area in the entire state. It's right next to a huge oil refinery. And I've talked to so many residents who feel that no one sees them. No one thinks of people of color when we're talking about environmental issues. When you think about climate change, it is impacting people of color. And I'm not seeing enough discussion around that, which is why what Inslee said really stood out.
Kat Stafford is an investigative reporter for the Detroit Free Press. Kat, thanks so much.
Thanks.